And this volume he did really is spectacular. I'm assuming this year he'll put on Dvarim, because he puts it every 2 years. Every 2 years he puts out another volume, and it's been 2 years since he put out this volume. So hopefully he'll put out this year on Dvarim. But now we're in Parshas Nosa. And he has here a very, very elaborate treatment of Birchas Kohanim. Okay, so yesterday we discussed a little bit about Birchas, and we were more marich on different elements of Birchas Kohanim. Why is it? What exactly is the nature of the bracha? So we elaborated that the bracha primarily is the bracha of protection. And the second yisoy that we focused on yesterday, which is totally new to me, is that when the Yisrael, when he says Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, when he leads the Kohanim to say the words of the bracha, that is a very significant part of the service. He's not just a robot reminding them what to say and holding them, you know, he's pacing them. He's the conductor, you know, it's like a conductor. The one that says Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, you can view as a conductor. But it's much more than a conductor. Because a conductor in an orchestra doesn't do anything really. He doesn't play an instrument.
You know.
Yeah.
I can't, while learning this week, I came up with an analogy, like a cell phone charger.
A cell phone charger,
in,
yeah.
To the power source, the source of the brachos, and then plugs in.
Right.
And transmits.
Gives it over.
It doesn't have power in itself except what it gets from the power source.
Exactly. So the Kohanim have no power. The one that is the cell phone charger is the conductor,
yeah.
Is the shaliach tzibur. That's a chiddush, because you don't seem to get that. You don't seem to get that idea, that feeling when you learn the basic sugya of Birchas Kohanim. The impression you get more often than not is that the shaliach tzibur is nothing more than a robot. He's just giving them guidance. Omar Elohim. Okay, so yeah.
The method of Birkas Kehanim. It's via
Omar Elohim. Now let me ask you a question. Is that the way they did it in the Beis HaMikdash?
Yes.
There was a conductor in the Beis HaMikdash that said Yivarecha.
It is the derech of Birkas Kehanim.
Okay, I didn't see that.
Amor
Elohim. Okay. So Harav, let me give you your full title. Harav, Dr. Colonel Shlomo Cohen Shlita.
From
Philadelphia. May have Arichas Yomim. Is explaining that the makor, the source of this, that the shaliach tzibur carefully says the words Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, is rooted in the pasuk Omar Lohem. Before it says Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha, Hashem says,
he's a kohen.
Omar Lohem. Oh, you're a kohen. Or have Dr. Cohen. You're a kohen. Your name is a kohen. So you're a kohen. Correct. So we have another title. We have Horav, Doctor, Colonel, Colonel Shlomo Hakohen Kog Shlita. He was a chaplain in the army. So he's a colonel. He rose up to the rank of colonel in the United States military.
20 years.
20 years of colonel in the army. 20 years. Rabbi Cohen, you were there for 20 years.
Yes, that's how I reached the
colonel.
And I graduated from Command and General Staff College.
Wow. 20 years. Wow. Which branch of the military did you serve?
The Army.
The Army. Wow. Ooh. Scary. Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you for your service.
Yes, absolutely.
It's no joke. It's no joke. I mean that seriously. We all mean it seriously. Okay, Rabbi Isa, let's continue. So we have over here Omar Lechem. That was what we learned yesterday. Let's discuss some other interesting things. We mentioned over here, I told you the drush. The reason why the Kohen, they raise their hands is because of the first thing that we discussed is protection. When a parent wants to protect a child, the method is through the raising the raising of the hands. Okay, now I want to tell you another idea, something very fast. Now, besides raising your hands, we know that the Kohanim, they spread out their fingers in a unique pattern. Okay? I can't do it. I remember when I was in elementary school, I had a friend who was a Kohen, and he showed me how he's able to hold out his little, you know, he was probably, we were then in fourth grade, and he was able to show me how he was able to open up his hands just like this, if you see on the screen, or you see, and I cannot do that for the life of me. There's nothing I can do, in no way. And he told me then, only Kohanim, real Kohanim, are able to do this. That's not really true, because there are. Oh, you see, Mordechai Bidenstock is also able to do this, and he is not a Kohen. And there are Kohanim that cannot do it. So it's not. It's not necessarily true. But there is such a principle that the Kohanim they opened up, and this comes from a pasuk. Hametzitz ben Hacharakim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is what's the entire pasuk? Hametzitz min Hacharakim. Ha-charakim. There are five. Hey, charakim. Five windows. You put two hands together.
There's another meaning of thus spreading the fingers.
What are the two minhagim? Tell us.
There are five halaynas.
Okay.
And then there's spreading the fingers like this. Spreading the fingers completely.
Completely. There's another minute to spread the fingers completely, he says. There's another minute to spread that would be 10 chalonis.
Yeah, and the reason for that is...
Because the Kohanim can't do the other way, that's why. Because their fingers can't close. What?
I learned the other day. When I learned it, the more channels of Brahma, the better.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so it's based on a path that Kodesh Baruch Hu, he gazes, the Shekhinah, Chazal tell us that the Shekhinah is resting upon the tips of the fingers of the Kohanim, and as it says in Shir HaShirim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he looks between the lattice work. Hashem, he peeks. Hashem's nature is to conceal himself. Hashem, the whole part of Hashem created the world with the shame Shakai, Sheomar Le'olam Odai. Hashem is hiding himself, so it fits into Hashem's nature to conceal himself. And thus, when the Shekhinah is resting upon HaKadosh, on the hands of the Kohanim, when during the time of Birchas Kohanim, we imitate that theme, therefore the hands are positioned like windows, like window shades, lattice work, where you can see, it's one way, like one-way glass. Basically, lattice work is one-way glass. When you're behind the lattice work, you can see on the other side, but the people looking at you from a distance cannot see you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is royeh ve'einoy nirim. Hashem sees, but he is not seen. Thus, when the Kohanim are dispensing the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Shekhinah is resting upon their fingertips, the Kohanim, they represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah with their fingers in a position that carries forth the pasuk of Meitzitz min Hacharakim, which is the theme of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Royeh ve'einoy nireh. Hashem sees but is not seen. That's a very powerful concept, because when you're giving bracha, there's a principle in bracha. This really goes against a principle. We know that when you give a person a blessing, a gift, Tzorich lehoy di'oy. Chazal tell us if you give a person a gift, anonymous gifts are no good. It's not a good thing to give an anonymous gift. If you're giving charity, then it's a very good thing to be anonymous. It's very good that you should, that the giver should be anonymous, and the recipient should not even know who he got it from. But when you're not giving charity, when you're giving a person a gift, the purpose of the gift is in order to create a chiba between the noisein and the recipient. And thus, you have to know who the noisein is. So we have to appreciate that it's a chiddush that at the time of Birchas Kohanim, the Kohanim they set up their hands in such a way that it's symbolic of Hashem in his midah of royeh ve'einoy nireh. Hashem is hidden. Hashem, there are times when Hashem reveals himself. At Kriyat Yamsuf, Hashem Yimloich Liyalamot, Zekeli Vyanveyu. Every single person was able to point. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, there are many times, we have in the Parashat Chukosai, It says here in Rashi, it's probably the most shocking Rashi in the entire Tanakh, where Rashi says the pasuk, "V'hisalachti b'seichem, atayel imochem b'gan Eden." I'll walk together with you in Gan Eden. Okay, I mean, what does that mean? Hashem is going to walk with every person like a person in Gan Eden. Atayel imochem b'gan Eden, and you're not going to be afraid of me. Okay, that's a little bit too much to bear. That's what Rashi says. So we know for sure that there is such a principle that Kadosh Baruch Hu does in fact reveal himself to man. And we also know there's a principle that Kadosh Baruch Hu, when you give a gift to a person, you're supposed to let the person know who gave you a gift. The Gemara gives an example. You give it to a child, bread. You see a child and you give him candy. Let's say you are the candy man in shul. Today, I always wonder, today, you know, everything, we live in such a sensitive world where, you know, everything you do today is under scrutiny, there are cameras. I always wondered, how are the candy men in shul allowed to operate? They should need a license from the Senate, from the Democrats, to make sure they give gender-neutral candy. And who says the kashrus is good, and who says, this is, what you do, we live in such a crazy world. What? And the whole day, he's in shock what I just said. What? Oh, don't worry, I'm sure they figured it out.
The way you do it is you have a bag of candy and the kids come by themselves and take what they want. You don't give.
Look,
otherwise the parents kill you.
I don't know if you use Google Docs. It's like Microsoft Word. Now they've announced Google Docs. They're part of the spell checking. It's unbelievable what we've come to. When they have a spell checker, grammar checker, the law underneath the words, it's red and green. They're going to give you suggestions to be more inclusive in your writing. Could you imagine? If you write a sentence, if you go to Google Docs and start typing a document, the whole world today uses Google Docs, and you write a sentence, and Google detects that your sentence may be racist, or only one gender, so they'll give you, it will automatically have a green underline and have suggestions how you should improve, suggestions what you should instead write that will be more inclusive. You see where we've come to? You see how far we've gone? So in any event, so this Chazal said, if you give a child candy, you're supposed to take some of the candy or bracelets to rub it. Give him a chocolate bar. Take some of the chocolate and rub it on his face, so that when the child comes home, what's that stain on your face? Oh, someone gave me some chocolate. Oh, who gave you chocolate? This person. Oh, he's such a nice guy. Only thing is, why did he give you white chocolate? He should have given you brown chocolate. Dark chocolate. Why he gave you chocolate? He gave you chocolate. So, like, oh wow, so you'll be makir toif. You should see the stain of the food on the child's flesh, so that the parents should be aware that someone has been so kind to give their child a gift. And that will increase chiba, love, between the family who was on the receiving end and the noisim. So that only begs the question, why is it when it comes to Birchas Kohanim, do the Kohanim go out of their way to position their hands in such a fashion which reminds us of Meitzitz Menacharakim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His divine presence is upon our fingers, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Roye Ve'enoy Nireh. We should do something to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is resting, His divine presence is resting here, and Adarabba, we should try to express during Birchos Kohanim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. Why are we trying to hide HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the answer is very obvious why this is done. Because you don't know what's really good for you. Come out of Yom Tov, you come out of Yom Tov, And, you know, you get a bracha, you know, you have all these expectations. Expectations of what you need. You have a long laundry list of all of your needs. And then time goes by and you don't get what you need. And you're very disappointed. So you think back and you say, oh, you know, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wasn't really there. The Shekhinah wasn't really on the fingertips of the Kohanim, because I didn't get the bracha. Now, if the Kohanim would hold their fingers up in a way where Hashem is here, how could it be? I didn't get what I wanted. The answer is, many times, it's symbolic, the bracha is concealed. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's true, Hashem gives you bracha, but when a human being gives bracha, then the ideal thing is you're required to let the recipient know that you gave them a gift. Again, it's not charity. We're not talking about charity. We're talking about giving a gift. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more often than not, he gives bracha to us in a hidden way. It's not charity, it's bracha, but Hashem has a different way of giving bracha. The blessings of Hashem are not the same blessings that man gives another fellow man. It is because man doesn't really know what is good for him. What a person thinks is ideal, if only had this job, he was chalishing to get this job, and then someone else got the job. He doesn't realize that if he would have gotten that job, he would have been in a very different place, and years later, he would not have succeeded. I know someone, very interesting, I know someone, it's a very fat, very, I know a person, that's why it means a lot to me. This person, he was taken, what is this called, Cooper Union? Is that the name of the engineering school? It's an elite, a very, very elitist engineering school. It's probably, I don't know today if it still is, but years ago it was Shanto Psalta. It was number one.
And it was free.
Right, that's how elitist they are.
Yeah.
Because if you're part of us, then you don't need that. That's part of the elitism of being. So he was accepted. He was accepted in Cooper Union. It's unbelievable. His parents were like the Nachas. You can't even begin to imagine. And he was also, he lived in Chaim Berlin. This goes back many, many years ago. He lived in Chaim Berlin. And he went down for orientation. And he realized that the demands of what they wanted would be a very big conflict with continuing to learn in yeshiva, not full time, of course, but at least, and he asked certain questions, and his parents were there in the audience, and then he basically said, "If that's the case, I can't come." And his parents, they put like their hands on their eyes. "Are you crazy? You get into Cooper Union, and anyway, so what out of your mind?" And he said, "No, I really, really want to learn. I really want to learn." And it's unbelievable. He dropped out. It's a shocking thing. His parents were so upset. He told me, this many, many years later, the people in his class, they got very, very good jobs. Very good jobs. And he would have basically, on that day, would have gotten those jobs. And he didn't get such a good job. He went, I don't know, to another school, whatever happened. And then years passed, and the people who got those jobs, something happened, and it turns out he ended up being their boss in a whole different capacity. Like 20 years later, I don't know if it's mamish 20 years, is it so such a long time already? And he said to me, he was telling me all the details, I forgot all the details, is that it was a tremendous hashkacha that where he is today, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, he's in a much more secure position than where he would have been had he taken the path of his, taken that path. So you don't really know. No one really, just one, I told you one example of a billion examples. The reason why it's because I know the person, and I know, I've got all the details already, but I know the person, I know the situation, I know the family, and it just resonates with me. But every single person can tell you a million stories just like this in their own life. You really don't know in life what's good for you. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the bracha, it's given by design, meitzitz menacharakim. Hashem is roye ve'einu nira. That sets a tone of hiddenness. There's going to be bracha. Don't expect the bracha to be explicit. It's, you can put ze keili v'yanveyu. Here you are, Hashem. There you are, yivarechecha. Yivarechecha means you're going to make me rich, famous, successful, happy. That's not the way it works. This is not the type of bracha of Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim is a subtle bracha. When you give a person a gift, Shloach Manos, you have to write down on the package who this Mishloach Manos is from. If the person doesn't answer the door and you leave it at the front door because the person that you're giving went to Daven Mincha and he comes back and there's a nice package and it doesn't say who is the sender, then you're not Yoytze the Mitzvah. That's not what you have to know, who gave you the Mishloach Manos. If you give someone a gift, because we live in a very limited world, and that's the way a gift works. The purpose of giving a gift is in order to create an av of yachav v'reus between people. Hanoisin ma'atonu l'chaveru, it's tzorech lo'idiyoi. Plain pashut. But birchas kohanim is not that type of gift. It's not charity. It's a gift of emunah. And the gift, the emunah is, there is a blessing. But the blessing, the tone of the blessing is meitzitz min acharakim. You're not going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not going to see it. You're not going to see what's coming. You're not going to see the noisein, and you're not going to see the gift. It's going to be subtle. You'll only be able to appreciate the gift in hindsight. And that impression, that is that focus, that frame of mind is presented in the way the Kohanim present the bracha to you. They present the bracha to you with their hands raised in the form of Hashem, he is Royeh ve'einoy nireh. You can't see him. The noisein of the bracha cannot be seen. And that means the bracha also cannot be seen. Don't expect to see the bracha tomorrow in your bank account. This is not a stimulus check. It's not going to be you'll come up with to go and log into your bank account and there it is. That's not a way. The same way the noisein is hiding, the baracha is hiding behind the latticework. It's not going to be obvious. In hindsight, 20 years later, you'll be able to look back and you'll be able to see Hashem's baracha. Don't have unrealistic expectations. That's the significance of the meitzitz min hacharakim. Okay, now there's another very beautiful idea he says to you, which blew my mind, and that is, since when did man have digits? Where did the digits come from? So everyone knows this, that the Adam HaRishon, suppose, I mean, the Divin Midrashim, these are very, you know, mystical things. It's hard for us to really to grasp all of these ideas, but Chazal the Medrash says that Adam HaRishon did not have digits. Adam HaRishon had a calf, had a palm,
a web.
There was no, what's called a web. No individual fingers. The first person to mutate and have individual fingers was Noach. Zeyinachameni me itz. I forgot the pasuk. Me itzvon yodenu from the pain of our fingers. Me itzvon yodenu. I don't remember the exact details of the drasha, but the medrash starts on this pasuk. This man will give us comfort from our labor, from the work of our hand, from the curse of the earth. And the Medrash elaborates upon this pasuk, without going into all the details, is that Adam HaRishon was the first person to have digits. Why? That if a person with Noach was the first person, I guess, if you want to talk about in the scientific form, you'll say to mutate. His genes mutated. He was part of the evolution of man. His fingers were separated, And that gave him dexterity to work the land with fine motor skills, to develop the land in a way that his predecessors were unable to do. The earth was cursed because of the Chet Eitz Hadas. It produced weeds, whatever, you have to elaborate, whatever the Medrash means. Also, he invented the plow. That's also part of the process. If you don't have fingers, you cannot be an engineer. To be an engineer, to design some of these very skillful, these unique gadgets, you need dexterity. I sign up. I'm on these Instagram channels. I try never to look at it because it's such a batola of engineering feats and gadgets. And some of this stuff is just unbelievable. It's unreal. And a lot of these things that they show, these engineering feats, is very fine precision. Human beings using tools, very unique, creating very unique tools, or using their hands with very, very fine precision. That ability to engage in precision, to pull off these incredible technological feats that are almost impossible, would seem almost impossible, only come with the fact that man has five digits. I remember when I was in high school, they were telling us about the space shuttle. And if you notice, remember, I'm sure you all remember, you see, remember the space shuttle went up. As it went up, it turns. It turned. It launched from Florida. And as it went up, it turned ever so slightly in order to, when it gets up, it has to go on a certain trajectory into orbit. So they told us the amount of code, the amount of money and programmers and engineers that how much time went into getting the space shuttle, when it goes up, to program it, when it goes like this, to turn ever so gently like this and to bend, took years. Years of the greatest minds of MIT and the most powerful computers in all years. And a human being takes for granted that you can just take a cup and you can turn it, take a ball, and you can go like this. Hashem created man to do that. That dexterity, I can take this cup and I can just turn it like this. You know how much code that takes for today? They have robots that they're getting very sophisticated today. But it's only after generations of working on this type of stuff. Dexterity! This is an incredible, incredible chokhmah to be able to do this. If you did not have digits, if your hand was a web, there is no way you could do this. Your hand was a web, what would you do? How would you be able to take a cup? Nothing you can do. You can't do all this stuff. All this chokhmah. All of this sophistication comes with digits. And that is a mashal, a dogma, for man's ability to bring into this world technology, and through the technology to bring to this world incredible bracha. All the technology we have in this world, the goal is to give man, you know, freedom, luxuries, and good health, and the ability to, you know, to be happy and achieve. And if you're an Orthodox religious Jew, it means you have time to devote to Avodas Hashem. That calm came with Noach, whose fingers, for the first time, were separated. When the Kohanim are giving bracha, they imitate Noach. This is what it says over Zichron. He cites this, and that's not his. He's telling us from some holy source. When the Kohanim raise their hand, and their fingers are broken up into different forms to show their dexterity, that goes hand in hand with bracha. Noach was recognized. This man will give us nechama, yinachamenu, mima'afenu, umi'itzvon yodenu, min ho'adama asher eriro, from the earth that's cursed. The opposite of a curse is a bracha. And the bracha of Noach was his dexterity, his fine motor skills in order to create, to work the land with his hands. And Chazal also said he invented the plow. To invent a plow, to invent a tool, to create a new tool, you, if your hand is a web, you can't even type on the computer. Think about it like that. You can't do anything if your hand is just it. When man had dexterity is when man had nechama from the curse of this world. They now had the ability to work with the world that Hashem created, to develop it, to engineer different things and invent tools, v'chulu, to bring out blessing in this world. The opposite of a curse, the nechama to a curse. And thus, when the Kohanim, who are entrusted with the baruch of this world, to illustrate that they are going back to the first true bracha, they imitate Noach. Okay, so they raise their hands to show the people, look, fingers, look at that. That's bracha. Look at that! This is bracha! Okay, that's a good var. I don't know about you, but that, the sefer was worth it just for that. Okay, that to me was a very powerful idea. So are we ready to... Yeah?
To look at the fingers.
Oh, so you're not allowed to. The halacha is... Okay, that's another thing. Because the Shekhinah is resting upon the fingers. So you're not supposed to look at the fingers. It's also, the Chazal say, it's also lehistakel. Lehistakel means to gaze intently. If you want a little glimpse, you can cheat. If you want to cheat a little bit, you know, you're under the tiles, you want to just give, you know, a little gaze. What's doing up there? What's going on there in the front? What's going on in the front? That is permitted. It is only forbidden lehistakel to gaze intently at the fingers. And the truth is, even today it's only a minute because Bizman said that there is no Shekhinah.
So it's only in the Beis HaMikdash.
Only the Beis HaMikdash. Only in the Bizman said there is no Shekhinah, but still Minhag Avoseinu Biyodeinu. Okay, we still follow the Minhag Avoseinu Biyodeinu. So we follow the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash, and we preserve the Minhag, and we don't. It's not proper. I think it's Mamash Mechaber. It's not proper to intensely gaze at the Kohanim when they do Birchos Kohanim, because. Whatever it means, listen, the shul is a Migdash Ma'at, Minhag Avoseinu Biyodeinu. Obviously, the real Shekhinah is not resting upon their hands, the Beis HaMikdash was, but we still preserve the Minhag, but still we all do know that the Kohanim, they are raising their hands in such a fashion. So, Sach HaKol, we have you, these are the three different ideas we brought out about why they raise their hands. Number one, protection. When you want to protect something, you raise your hands to protect. That's the Iker Tafkin of Bracha. To get a bonus, you need to deserve it. Iker Bracha we see from Gedolei Yisrael, from Kohanim, is Hashem should protect the treasures that we already have. Don't take for granted what you have. And the proof is, Avraham is the makor of all Bracha, Ve'yei Berocha, and what do we say three times a day? Baruch Ata Hashem Mogein Avraham, a shield. We start the bracha with Avraham Avinu. The Chasima has to be Me'ein HaBracha Mogein Avraham. And when you want to protect yourself, you put your hands out. It's an act of protection. Mechanism of protection. Number two, since we put the fingers out, it's more of the fingers, not the way the fingers are arranged, is a reminder. Don't expect to wake up tomorrow morning and go online into your bank account and see there someone putting their millions of dollars. That's not the way it works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself when he gives bracha. Hashem is meitzitz min acharakim. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals himself the bracha is concealed. In fact, Chazal saying, "Ein habracha mitzuya, ela bedavar hasamui min ha'ayin." Bracha, real bracha, is something which is concealed. That's real bracha. And to express that idea, it's done through meitzitz min acharakim, when you have lattice work, the one that's standing on the, by the lattice work and peeking into key, see very clearly what's going on. But you at a distance, you can't see anything. That's number two. And number three is we connect with Noach. No more curse. V'yafachta klala lebracha. Klala lebracha. No more curse. Bracha. Noach represented bracha, because bracha is captured in dexterity. That's how bracha comes about. You're able to work with your hands to take the raw matter that Hashem put in this world and manipulate it. If you don't have digits, you're a shemazel. You're a shemazel. You're all thumbs. Well, how are you going to be able to manipulate the matter of this world to create tools, to create, to engineer this world to bring out its blessing? Okay, now let's go to some other ideas. Okay, I have on the page over here. This is just, I'm just jump around on whatever I find on the page over here. Today in Jordan is Hor HaHor. Supposedly, I don't know if they know today, but supposedly, once upon a time, they know where Aaron is buried. Supposedly, right? Is that true? They know where Aaron is buried. There's a mountain in Jordan called Hor HaHor. There's all questions, that the real Hor HaHor? Is that Baba Maya? Is it this, that? All right. But at some point in time, it seems like there was a Masoira where Aaron was buried. So think about this. What greater place can you go for Birchas Kohanim than to Hor HaHor? Right. I mean, who's the one that said Birchas Kohanim for the very first time? Aaron, not even in the sixth parasha. Go back to Parasha Shemini. Parasha Shemini, Aaron, Moishes, Vehi Noyem Hashem Elokim Master Yadenu, and then Rashi there says, and he blessed, Vayivorech Esa'am, what's the bracha? Parasha Shemini. Yivorechacha, Yo'er, and Yisa. Oh, wait a minute. Those words did not appear until Parasha Nasai. All right, so you have a lot of Torah, a lot of very nice Chidushay Torah. Aaron, maybe Aaron Taka, he was the one that made up the bracha. Hashem rubber stamped it. Not the first time that happened. Moshe invented Shabbos, right? We have that. Moshe, Yismach Moshe, B'manas Chelkai. Moshe had a great idea. They should have a day off from work. Hashem rubber stamped, we're going to have Shabbos. Oh, Shabbos Bereshis. Yeah. Eilu vo'eilu diri elokim chayim. Okay, all these type of Torah, whatever. But Aaron had a chelik. And even if you'll tell me Aaron is not the one who invented Birchas Kohanim, but who's the one that recited Birchas Kohanim for the very first time in the Mishkan? Aaron! Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. I mean, you need a Kohen, right? Who else other than the Kohen Gadol is in the Birchas Kohanim? So if you want to talk to this generation and tell them you want a skula, ooh, skula today, it's like, you know, the word skula, everyone wakes up. When you say the word skula, say to them, you give money to Kupat Ha'ir, and the Gedele Yisrael are going to be taken on a plane to Jordan, to Hor HaHor. And they're going to engage in Birchas Kohanim on your behalf. Just send us your credit card number, and you'll be part of the list of the Gedele Yisrael. They'll take all the Kohanim. They'll find the list of all of the Gedele Yisrael who are Kohanim, and we're going to put them on a plane. We're going to send them to Jordan, to Hor HaHor, and they're going to do Birchas Kohanim with you in mind. Isn't that a great marketing technique? Great fundraising technique? It would really, you would rake in millions, you should know. If you try this, I'm telling you, this would be a great idea. It would really work. So why don't we do it? Well, first, the Jordanians don't let us in, okay? They're not letting us in anyway. But it seems, he writes something very bizarre, that they once tried to do this. See, we're not even thinking, they already thought of this. Fundraising, they thought of this. They actually once did this. This is a legend. Is it true or not? I have no idea. These are like legends. I opened up to the page and I found this. That's why I'm telling you this. There's a legend. They once did this. They once went to the Hor HaHor, Kohanim, It was an ace tzara, I'm assuming. And Klal Yisrael needed Yeshua. What more could you possibly want? You go to Har HaHar, the keder of Aaron HaKohen, and you daven, and you do Birchas Kohanim with Kavon, you know, the real deal. We're not making with son, I said the real deal. They did it. And as they were doing it, there was a almost like an earthquake. I don't like, it's hard to describe. There was a massive storm. Like, things started happening in the environment that got the locals, the Arabs who were living, they were filled with terror. Things started happening. I guess the Talmidei Chacham who went, it worked so well. It was so potent. This is a legend. I'm not telling you this is what it says here. It created a certain feeling. Something happened that the weather, things happened in the weather patterns at that moment that never ever happened before. And the locals were terrified. And they looked at these Jews. What are you doing? Voodoo? What are you trying to kill us here? What are you doing? You did something that caused this danger. And they wanted to kill them. And they tried to kill them. And I don't know if they escaped, didn't escape. It was a very, very big sakana. From that moment on, it was almost like a ban. No one should ever do this again. Because we did it once, and we came lidei sakana. The Arabs saw us there, davening, and something happened, and they were terrified. And they viewed whether it was right or wrong, whether it was a coincidence or not, that we were the cause of this event that made them very uncomfortable, and they almost killed the Jews. So the Chazal, they came, the people of the time, they issued a ban. No one, it's a sakana, no one should ever do this again. Should ever go to the keder of Aaron HaKohen and engage in Birchas Kohanim. Very, very interesting story. Look, is it so hard to believe? Look now, what happened before Yom Tov Shavuos in Stalin? This horrific tragedy. These two young people, isn't it frightening? Look at the picture of a bar mitzvah boy, a little sweet bar mitzvah boy, and this 23-year-old younger man who left over a child, were killed in this. Horrific accident. They Chanukah Sabayis in Stalin, and they didn't have enough, the bleachers weren't high enough, so they put some 2x4s together with some zip ties, and they made this makeshift extension on the bleachers. And Rachman Litzlan, two people were nifter, and five people were in critical condition, and 100 people were injured. So what a horrific accident. So now in Ger, the biggest chassidus in the world, they're having a chasna in 2 weeks from now. A b'chasna.
A boy fell down in Ger too. A little boy fell down in the bleachers.
Just recently. So yeah. Now the Ger Rebbe is goyzer, no more bleachers. I don't know if you know what that means. No more bleachers by chassidim. That's like saying on Shavuos no more cheesecake. You know, it's quite a statement. And by the way, I read up on this, is the bleachers they have in Ger are probably the safest bleachers there are in the world. They're made in shipyards, specially designed bleachers that are supposed to be super duper safe as can possibly be. No more. Done. No more. How are the Hasidim going to fabring with the Rebbe? I don't know if you know, realize that this is bread and butter. By Hasidim, a Rebbe's wedding, It's like you know, your oxygen. This is what it's all about. And the Hasidim are not going to be able to fabring with the Rebbe by Chasna, Rebbe Shechasna. I cannot even believe it that they went so far to do this. No more bleachers. I don't know if that means forever, But it's quite a thing. So you can appreciate this. If even today you can have here in the biggest Hasidus in the world, they can cancel the bleachers, even though their bleachers are supposed to be the best that they make, the best of its kind, because of a tragedy. So it's not so hard, so far-fetched to believe this story is where it makes a lot of logical sense. We're better to do Birchos Kohanim than by the kever of Aaron HaKohen, who we know as a fact did Birchos Kohanim on the day of the Hakomas HaMishkan, Yoim Shmini Lemiluim, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Vayivom Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, Vihi Noyam Hashem Elokeinu Leinu Maase Yodeinu Kono Leinu Maase Yodeinu, and Moshe gave over the mic to Aaron, and Aaron said for the very first time, Yivorechecho Hashem Yishmerecho Yo'er Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yichudecho Yisrael Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yosim L'cho Shalom. On the day when the Ribbono Shel Olam brought down his Shechina to this world, these were the words of Aaron HaKohen's Beferish and Rashi. Where better can you say those words than by the kever of Aaron HaKohen? And they did it. They tried to do it. And something terrible happened. No. We don't want to try this again. We're not looking for trouble. It's not so far-fetched to understand that, you know, there were responsible people like today. You see a story like this in the news today. You understand how it's not so far-fetched to believe such a story. Okay, now let me take another example. There is a principle, very interesting. How many times, I didn't count, but it says here in this sefer, very interesting things. How many times does it say the word Kohen or Kohanim in Chamisha Chumshe Torah? I could probably, I'm lazy, I just should have checked it myself, take a second, I'm not completing my little device here. Supposedly 300 times. Is it exact? If it's not exact, I'm sure we can figure out a way. We can manipulate it in such a way that it is exact. I don't know what it means. I'm reading so carefully. I don't remember what I read over here. It says in Tana, in Chumash, Chamisha Chumshe Torah, the word Kohen. We have to figure out. Kohen. The word Kohen. Well, the word Kohanim or Kohanei. Well, yeah, I'm sure it's not so simple.
Well, you have Kohen Midian and Kohen Nine.
So you have to deduct those, right? I'm sure, you know, it's going to be one of those type of things where you're going to have to go manipulate it to get it to. It's like it says Chazal say, it says Yitzias Mitzrayim 50 times in Chumash. This is a very famous thing. 50 times does it mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in Chamisha Chumshe Torah. Problem is, it's a lot. It's more than 50 times. It's more, and there are only probably 20 different commentators who explain to you which ones are not included because that's not part of the main topic of what the pasuk is mentioning. So it's going to be the same thing over here. It says the number 300 time kohanim. So there became years ago. You don't ever hear about this anymore today, but there was that is where an Indian. To recite Birchos Kohanim Berov Am Hadras Melech with 300 Kohanim. Something special. Is it a skula? I don't like the word skula. I'm not into these type of things. Something special about having 300 Kohanim participate in Birchos Kohanim. Now, that's not so hard anymore today, and they do it today. Today in Chol HaMoed, on Corona, it wasn't so pashut. Corona was pretty sad. I watched that video showing the difference between last year and the year before by the Kaisel. And you know what's so sad now? Now they're probably going to limit attendance to the Kaisel of Maravi. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. Because I know when I was there 20 years ago, I was almost crushed to death on Shavuos morning, Aleis HaShachar by the Kaisel of Maravi. You know, I was really scared. I remember that fright. I was at the Kaisel Maravi. I came there in the middle of the night. I was all by the Kaisel, all in the front. And as it got, you know, as it came time to daven Shacharis, people started coming. The whole plaza was filled up. And there's nowhere to go. I was mamish, nowhere to go. And then as they started davening, it got very hot. It's very hot, Shavuos time. And it's very scary. So I really wonder what's going to be now after what happened in Meron. Obviously, there's going to be a whole new assessment on attendance. And you know, you look at the pictures, the videos of Birchos Kohanim in the year before Corona, Kanai Nahara, there was like, I don't know what the numbers are, but it was a lot of people. So when they do Birchas Kehanim and Chol HaMoed, and that itself is a whole story, how that came about. That's a recent thing. In Chol HaMoed, you have 300 Kehanim. So the truth is, he has a very beautiful arichas on this. And the truth is, it doesn't really mean very much for many, many reasons. First of all, you need this special, I don't even know where it comes from. Maybe it's even a medrash, this concept of having 300 Kehanim. I don't know how far back, how authentic it is, what really it's all about. But Rabbi Zicherman in this Sefer, and not going through all the details, this is an old thing. The 300 Kehanim goes back maybe even 1,000 years. But the Mesorah is, it only has a special character if the Kehanim are all Meyuchasim. And today, unfortunately, not all Kehanim can really can be certain that they are Meyuchasim. Number two, this Rav Avadia Yosef speaks about. It's a very big problem, and that is when people come to Birchas Kehanim, if they already, there's a whole shaila, if they have already davened. Many people, they come to Birchas Kehanim, they already davened. They daven Shacharis locally. They get on a bus or on a taxi, and they come to the Kosel with their talis, and they put on their talis, and they participate in doing Birchas Kehanim, the big ceremony in Chol HaMoed. First of all, there's a whole shaila, are they even allowed to make a bracha? Are they even allowed to make a bracha when other Kehanim a second time? If they already recited Birchas Kehanim once for a minyan in the morning, and now they're joining another minyan where other Kehanim are making the bracha, are they allowed to make another bracha? I don't know, Mr. We have Kehanim over here. Alan, you know, is he still, Alan, you know, what's the halacha? You familiar with this halacha? To make a bracha a second time when there are other Kohanim who are making a bracha. Okay, there are different opinions about this matter.
I did duchen a few times.
Right, but you duchen in a place where there's no one else. Where there's no one else. When there's no one else to duchen, you go into a minyan and you're the only one. But let's say you come to another minyan, there are other Kohanim duchening and they're making a bracha. There are already two Kohanim. So then there's a shaila if other Kohanim want to participate and also join the group, if they should make a bracha, if they're allowed to make a bracha, better not to make a bracha, have the other Kohanim be moitzi them with the bracha. There's a whole shaila. Because once already you've duchen once in the morning, So when those other Kohanim, when they participate, this is a very bizarre principle. It dilutes the koyach, the potency of the 300 authentic Kohanim. So if you have 300 authentic Kohanim, at least, that are duchening for the very first time, that's very powerful. But if you have mixed into that group Kohanim who already davened, and they're just joining to give an extra dosage of bracha, but they will already yoytze the mitzvah on this day, and they're doing it for a second time, which is a halachically challenging issue if they can make a second bracha. Is there such a thing? It's a very interesting thing. It dilutes the koyach. Then Rav Avadia Yosef is very upset. He holds, he says that the microphone is a problem. The microphone also is an issue. It's also, obviously, we're very makele today. We're very... Because the microphone, you can't hear without the microphone. The Omor Elohim, there are different issues with the microphone. Obviously, today, we're very, very lenient about a microphone. We're very lenient. We don't have a choice. We're very lenient. Go to a wedding, there's a microphone, the brachsman, the microphone. Okay, but yet, in shul, Baruch Hashem, they're not using a microphone to lane during Monday, Thursday. You've never gone to a shul here in this community where they lay in the Megillus Esther on a microphone. There are issues. There are issues. When I remember I went about a year and a half ago to Eretz Yisrael to a chasna. My brother made a chasna and the Mesadik and I got a bracha. Can you imagine I got a bracha? My brother told me, I'm not giving you a bracha because I want to give you a bracha. I'm giving you a bracha because if I don't give you a bracha, then there are like 20 people here they're all going to hate me. Why didn't I give them the bracha? You give him and not him, him and him. How come? So if I give you the bracha, they have nothing to say. He gave a relative a bracha. You solve for me a political, all the fallout. If I give the brachas to the relatives, then the chashuvim here can't have any tainus. How come I give this rashiva bracha, not that rashiva bracha, and this one, that one? I give relatives, so they don't get have any tainus. So I got a bracha, like the Masada Kedushin. I get up to the bracha, and he gives me this very tough, my brother told me he's a very tough guy. Don't take anything he does personally. That's just his nature. That is nature. He gives me this look, this Rashi. This is the Chassan's Rashi. My brother doesn't know from this guy, from Adam. But the Chassan is a very nice boy, the Chassan. This is the Chassan's Rashi. He has no choice, I guess, he gives. And I don't remember, he gave me this look and he said, and he did not allow me to make the bracha from the microphone. No microphone. You make the bracha without a microphone. Okay, he was a real brisker, very, very machne. Obviously there are issues, so that's also part of this issue of the three, but again, sidetracked. The point over here is, there is such a principle, a concept, which you don't hear people talk about this anymore, is 300 Kohanim participating together in Birchas Kohanim. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Another it was so later, and it's so, I can't believe it's so later. Let me just tell you one more quick thing about, one last thing, about Bizman Hazem in Chutz La'aretz, we do not duchen during the week. Okay, this is an old topic, we once spent a lot of time on this, why not? So what are the basic reasons? The basic reason is because there's no... Ashkenaz, we do not duchen during the week. It's not, this really doesn't, we really do not know why. And there are two famous stories, really there are three, where the Vilna Goyin wanted to reinstitute the recital of Birchas Kohanim every single day in Chutz La'aretz. And he told his Chassidim, tomorrow, not Chassidim, that's a funny word to say by the Gra. Okay, he told his followers, I'm very angry at me for saying that, he told his followers, tomorrow, we're going to start. Or he made a date, this is going to be the day. And that night, the night before he was imprisoned, the authorities came and they put him in jail. And the Vilna Goyin took that as a sign on his level that in Shemayim, for reasons not known to us, they do not want us to duchen in Chutz La'aretz among the Ashkenazim every day. There's another attempt made by Reb Chaim Mivolozhin, the father of all yeshivas today. He also decided the time has come. There's no reason in halacha why it should not be done. The time has come, we're going to do it. And he scheduled a date, and the night before, half of the Volozhin burned down. There was a horrific fire in Volozhin. Half the city burned down to nothing. He took that as a sign in Hashemayim. It's not meant to be. I believe there was another, so it was a Chassam Sofer. What? Yachid Emden? Another story, I think the Chassam Sofer also, we also wanted to reinstitute it.
Yachid Emden had kept him going because his father was starving.
Oh, could that could be Yachid Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi. Okay, but these two stories are well documented. The Vilna Goyin and Mechaim Volozhin, I believe there's another story with the Chassam Sofer, something similar. Something similar to the Chassam Sofer. Okay, so why not? So why not? The Magen Avraham says it's a minute, it's a davar megune that we don't say Birchos Kohanim every single day. It's a minig megune, I think called a minig megune, which means he's very disturbed. There's no reason not to, but that's why not. So their answers given are, you need a simcha, you need to be in a frame of mind of joy, ahava, asher kedushanu b'kedushos sh'arun l'varichas amrishol be'ahava, with love. And there should be simcha. And unfortunately, the tzoros of galus prevent us from having the clarity of mind, the frame of mind, the presence of mind to have ahava and to have simcha. So, yeah, that's a reason given. It's one reason. I came across some other very fascinating reasons. And one is something very shocking. One other reason is because Shabtzai Tzvi Would you believe this reason? Some they say there's a really very he did it. Hashem said he was really was an Eretz Yisrael. I guess he came to Chutz Le'aretz to some. I don't know the whole history, all the details. What right? That was the end. Turkey, the very end.
Yeah.
The very end. Hashem, he traveled around.
Yeah.
He was, but it was an area he started. I think he was an Eretz Yisrael most of the time. But he came to Chutz Le'aretz and he reinstituted. He did it. He actually did it. And I think he only did it on Shabbos. I don't think he did it during the week, if I'm not mistaken, only on Shabbos. So it became a thing. This really is, there's a lot of Judaisms about this. This is a very fact. I never heard this before, and it makes a lot of sense, especially when we see other things like this. You want to say Birchus Kohanim? That means you're a Sabbatian. That means you're a follower of Shabbos Hayetzir. Isn't that a shocking thing? That it became a thing because since Shabbos Hayetzir was into this, if you want to do it, we never did this before. Why not? No one knows why not. The Magen Avraham says it's a davar megune that we don't do this. Doesn't make sense. The Vilna Goy wanted to do it, and the Chaim Volozhin, but because Shabbos Hayetzir did it, he did it on Shabbos in Chutz Laretz. Ooh, you want to do it? Ooh, it's not good for Shaduchim. It means you're a follower of Shabbos Hayetzir. Now, we don't appreciate what that means today, because today, Shabbos Hayetzir is dead.
Yeah,
this whole movement is dead. Back in the day, Shabbos Hayetzir was a hot potato. It was so hot, too hot to hold, too hot. And it's an incredible insight. It opens up a whole new world. Now here's the question. If that's taka the case, and we're finishing up right now, this also explains something very interesting. Why we might not do it? He says something very very fascinating. But we do it. When do we do it? On the Shalosh Regalim. So Manashach. You know you gotta if you hold that Chutz La'aretz is not a place to do it. In Shemayim, they don't want us to do it. So why should the Shalosh Regalim be any different? And if the Shalosh Regalim, we do it, so do it during the week also, do it during Shabbos. Why are you differentiating? We're not besimcha, so they say, on Yom Tov we're besimcha, because Yom Tov we have good food, and the family comes together. Really? There's such a significant difference in the Simcha and Yom Tov over the whole week. Is the difference so significant? Okay, that's what the answer is. The answer is that Yom Tov we're besimcha, so Yom Tov we can do it, but not during the week. Okay, it's an answer, but I don't know if everyone will be satisfied. Now, this is an answer which now opens up a whole new world. And the answer is it's the Gemara. The Gemara is here's the answer. There are people, unfortunately, that are fakers. We all know that, unfortunately. And there are people that want to make believe, masquerade, that they are Kohanim. In Eretz Yisrael, somehow the climate, the environment, the society would not tolerate a faker. Eretz Yisrael, you know, they take things, they're much more serious in religion than we take in America. That's a fact. You go to Eretz Yisrael, davening is more, is a couple of notches more serious than davening in America. For a person who wants to be a phony and get up in front of the bima and duchen, I'm a Kohen. Oh, I'm a Kohen. Have respect for me. I'm a Kohen. You wouldn't do it unless you're the real deal. Olechotzef inish. It's in the Gemara. A Kohen wouldn't have the chutzpah to get up. A person, a Yisrael, a faker, a Yisrael, would not have the chutzpah in Eretz Yisrael to get up in front of the bima and duchen if he's not a real kohen.
Well,
yeah,
a missionary that did it.
What?
Yeah, a missionary that did it.
Okay, fine. There are exceptions, obviously. Obviously, today, you know, we live in a different world today. But let's go back from when these decisions were being made. I'm extrapolating what it says here in a Rezichemin Sefer, but in Chutz Le'aretz. Basically, if you read between the lines, the reason why duchening was not done during the week and on Shabbos is because in Chutz La'aretz, there are a lot of fakers.
Yeah.
A lot of fakers out there. And if we would duchen every single day, you know what would happen? A guy would walk in one day, you know what, I'm a Kohen. I'm a Kohen. He would get out in front of him and get away with it. Ah, but the Gemara says, lechotzev inish. Well, there aren't so many people around. It's a small minion. You know, come, you need a minion, 10 people, 11 people, 15 people. But on Yom Tov, everyone comes to shul. Yizkar, or Yom Tov, people come to shul. Yom Tov, we don't have to be afraid of the fakers. Because the Gemara says, lechotzev inish, a person only doesn't have the chutzpah to pretend when you're in front of a large group of people. On Yom Tov, typically, there are large minyanim. The minyanim, everyone comes, at least back then, today it may be different, but there were large numbers of people who were in attendance. Then we can fall back on the chazaka. We don't have to worry about fakers. We're going to dochen. We're going to do Kohanim come to the front. Kohanim, we don't have to worry about fakers. But during the weekday, it's not such a big minyan in Chutz La'aretz. There are a lot of fakers. And they're going to maneuver during the week to make themselves into Kohanim. And then, in other words, to be Kohanim even during the Regalim. This is a very interesting idea. Really, this is totally new to me, this idea. It really opens up a whole new trend of thought as to why. Okay, as a Sephardim, 100%. I'm not talking about the Sephardim.
Yeah.
We're talking about Ashkenazim. Okay, we're talking about Ashkenazim. So Sach HaKol, the basic reasons are, it's don't ask. It's Min HaShemayim. The Gra, Min HaShemayim, they don't want. We have no reason. We really don't know why. Chaim of Elazar, the mice with the Gra, don't ask. It's not wanted. On a practical level, many Paiskim say the reason is because Golos, Chutz Li'aretz, we're not besimcha. There's no ahava. There's no simcha. So don't get involved. That's the common run-of-the-mill answer. But here we have two more answers, which are new to me and are very enlightening, and there's a lot to be said about them. Shabsai Tzvi. It's a very interesting answer, and I believe there's a lot of truth in that. He came to Galus. He's not the Gra. he was a phony. He came. Oh, we're gonna dochen, and he did dochen, and people believed in him, and he did the damage that he did. The Klal Yisrael was suffering to Anayom Azeh. Finally, he was exposed. Oh, you want to dochen? Oh, you're a Shavsai Tzvi guy. Oh, and the other reason, which is very very fascinating, the fakers. Fakers. There are a lot of fakers out there. Yom Tov, we don't need to be worried about fakers. Loi chotzef inish. It's Gemara. To get up and duchen if you're not a kohen. But during the weekday, in Golos, people are mechutzafen. They'll do it. So in order to prevent a dilution of the yichus of Klal Yisrael, shevi al taaseh, better not. The yichus of Klal Yisrael is critical. We have to know who the real people are. Ad kidei kach, not to even do duchen during the weekday, nor not to allow fakers to present themselves. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. Oh, you're supposed to say Baruch Hu Ruch Shema. This is nice. Baruch Hu.
So what? Sephardim aren't concerned about fakers and something. They were affected also.
I guess not. I guess Sephardim, they were, whatever, I don't know. Yeah, obviously, the Sephardim, all of these reasons, they rejected. Obviously, the Sephardim, of course, the arts, you have to, you know, study the history of it. You know, these are different reasons.
The Sephardim didn't have Shabsik 3, number one.
Sure, they did.
They did, but yes, only they marginal. Please. They were very strongly against it.
You had all over.
Number two, they have the Yichas. They had the Kehanim. They were very, very tight about it. You can't be in, suddenly become a Kehanim by the Sephardim.
I understand, but
okay, each reason, well, I don't know.
Makes sense. In Eretz Yisrael, you got Trumas and Maestras. It was a question of Maminus.
It was money. You got money. Right. You made a difference.
Here, there's no Trumas and Maestras. So anyone could say he's a Kohen. It doesn't make a difference.
And then you become acknowledged, and 10 years later,
it's a very big problem, because if you're not a Kohen and you're taking Pidyon HaBen,
then the person is not redeemed.
Not redeemed.
Yes, I saw something very interesting. So there are people who go around. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Their argument. So a person. Every coin you meet, you give him five
yeah,
slots.
Because you'll hit the only one.
You know, doing that is a terrible. That means by you giving another coin five slum, you're telling this coin
he's not true.
You're an oizvav. You're mivazim.
Yeah, there's a famous story. There was a rabbi used to give Peter Naben. He used to take 50 kohanim.
Yeah.
And one kohen said, "I'm not doing it.
I'm not a suffolk."
And he said, "You're the guy I'm going to give it to on you." But I have this problem with my son-in-law. He did it Peter Naben.
Giving, going around to multiple kohanim, it's like you're being mitzilas, not the kohanim. Who says you want to do that? That's okay. Not a nice thing.
Anyone want anything? Anyone?